another edition of the Scenario Podcast. We are back in a full effect. How's everybody doing out there? Matt, how you doing, my brother?
Good, man. What's the word?
Man, people really hit us up about the snitching, man.
I think it's something that's close to everybody's life.
People really, really, really don't like snitches.
Nah, man. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a real thing. Like, everybody, and it cuts back to, like, the core of who you are, right? Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it goes all the way back to when you was a kid, and, like, your little brother, your little sister would be snitching on you or something.
And you're like, nah, I can't deal with that. What do you mean? Oh, you going to snitch on me?
Yeah. It's like, it really takes you back to, like, the core of who you are at the beginning.
I got you.
The neighbor would be telling when you outside, mini thugging.
What do you mean? Oh, mini thugging with the neighbors. Like, he over there doing that hood shit, Granny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Getting your ass whoopings.
Oh, man, dude, like, the pure granny ass whoopings are the worst ones. It's usually your cousin that came from out of town, or you were the cousin from out of town, and you didn't know the lay of the land in that area, and they tell on you fast.
See, we were some dumb snitches. Like, we used to tell on ourselves, because it's like, if he did that, you know you was there too, so why you let him do that?
Oh, so basically, how the police do you in real life, where it's like, everybody's implicated in the car if something happened.
Right. Right. Where it's like, nah, bruh. Like,
everybody ain't implicated, man.
You wasn't supposed to be out there either.
Like, dang, man. I wasn't supposed to be out there. Like, come on now. But yeah, shout out to everybody. For those, let's jump into, we got emails, voicemails. We got it all today, folks. First email comes from Lynx. He says, scenario. Wanted to write in about this snitching topic. It is some lot of snitching that has been happening in my life personally, but I'm going to give you all the hell of a story with this one. I was dating this girl after college, going into graduate school. She was all good, but maybe I wasn't too damn good myself. Let's keep it real. I was out in these goddamn streets. I appreciate you with your honesty of saying I was in these streets. Most people can't admit to that.
It do take a lot to admit when you was in the streets.
Yeah, like I was out there acting foul. You know, like, I was out here acting foul, and I apologize, you know, for whatever you did on that side. But he continues. But that's neither here nor there. But let's keep it real. Your homie shouldn't be the one snitching on you.
Ooh.
My homie snitched on me, told her where I was going to be at, I was with, and what time to come through the crib. And then she pops up on me, but luckily, old girl wasn't there. I figured it all out because at the end of the day, he was the only one that knew that such and such was coming by the house to come hang out. Now, fast forward, she ends up just snooping through all my stuff, going through everything, and she finally finds some stuff. You know how it is when a woman is trying to find some information, she gonna find it. So she breaks up with me. I try to get her back. But lo and behold, 6 months later, me and homeboy stopped talking for whatever reason. Come to find out, he dated my ex.
Yo, I knew that. I knew it. I felt the fallout.
Then, let's fast forward 3 years later, he ends up marrying her.
Whoa, hold on.
You didn't know it was going to go there, did you? You weren't expecting that hook.
I thought it was for the quick run.
No. He ends up marrying her. He said they've been married for 10 years.
You got to go ruin that, cuz. Even
he's
if you don't.
For 10 years.
Even if
he
you
said don't. I've been cool with that dude since then, and they've been married for 10 years.
Well, he said he's been cool with him since then?
He
said
he has not been cool with him since he hated on him.
I'm about to say, this dude's some kind of saint.
No, he's not the Botham family.
All right, man. So, like, here's my thing, though. Like, if she's... Well, no. Everybody's kind of wrong.
Yeah. Like, this... I mean, everybody is kind of implicated.
Nobody really survives this. Everybody's got blood on their hands.
Yeah, basically. Everybody. There's not one person that does not... Like, it fought for something.
Let's cast that as a movie real quick. Who would be the three people that would be in that movie?
Taraji Henson.
I feel like Terrence Howard got to be the dude that came out of nowhere.
Taraji Henson is the woman. So okay. So we just basically could do Empire.
Who is my man? Lynx.
Like, ooh, you know what? I'm going to go with Derek Luke for some reason.
Derek Luke?
Yeah, I just seen
Derek that. Luke and Taraji P. Henson together?
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, damn.
And I can see Derek Luke, like, kind of being a good guy, but still being in the streets a little bit, like, when in his backsliding days.
Nah, yo, he the dude from, what was that movie with Viola Davis? Where dude was the drug dealer with Liam Neeson.
Oh, you talking about Widows?
Yeah.
Who's the dude? Who's the dude?
You talking about Daniel Kulak?
Yeah. I feel like he got to be Lynx.
Oh, damn. Oh, so he's got to be the dude Lynx.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Derek Luke always felt a little suckerish to me. I don't know. I don't want to assign that to nobody.
Is Derek Luke
always suckerish? Wasn't he in Save the Last Dance?
No, that's Sean Michael Patrick.
Sean
Patrick Thomas.
Okay.
That's Sean Patrick Thomas. See, you get all them dark skinned dudes with that box haircut.
That dude looked like the same dude, man.
No, Derek Luke is saving it. I mean, Antoine Fisher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Derek Luke is he was a biker boy.
It feel like a movie that if it was a little older, Cuba Gooding Jr. would have been in though.
Yeah, but only difference is, I mean, if they want to keep it factual,
yeah,
Antoine Fisher was around the same complexion as Derek Luke.
Okay.
So it'd have been kind of out of pocket for him with that.
No, we good. We good. All right, man. Well, yo, shout out to that story.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. That's egregious hating though, bro.
Yeah. Next up, this one comes from Blase. Fellas, I really, really love your show, and as a woman, to be able to listen to two intelligent brothers riff back and forth about different topics is amazing to me, and I love what you all do. Now, I want to get to my story. I was the one that actually snitched. Now, the story.
Oh, I was thinking that she was from the last story. I was about to say, hold on.
We could only hope that we could get a situation like that where the woman that is in the first story emails us later on. Ain't got that big yet.
We got to get there.
Where somebody can want to rebuttal the person.
If anybody ever wonders what I'm here for, I'm just here for pandemonium. Yes. That's all I'm here for.
I want to hear the wife that's currently now from Link's story.
Yeah, all I want to do really is just have like stories like this get brought to the forefront, and then people just explain to me what they was on. That's all I'm really here for.
And the Kingston Armor, he'd be like, "Well, he was messing with five women." Like it'd be something like that Lynx left out.
Yeah, and you'd be like, "Word,
dang Lynx, you was really reckless."
And you'd be like, "Damn, bro, I don't know if I can defend that, but yeah. I'm gonna try."
Because your homeboy taking your girl though, marrying her, is pretty egregious.
It's just
as bad as Mace. Coming out with that song Jealous Girl about the dude in his neighborhood. But that was a real story about a dude in his neighborhood. They took his girl.
Jealous guy,
right. And he redid that. And he actually put the dude's name in the song.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on that. Yeah. But I was just, for one second, I thought that's where it came from.
So let's get back to Blase's email. She says, I was the one who snitched. It was this girl I really, really disliked in my job. She was always talking shit about me. She was always interrupting, always doing extra stuff. She even got me written up one time. So what I did is I set her up. Damn. I knew that she had a little fluff fund that she was using for her side projects and things she had for within her expense account. So I dimed her straight out. I told her where she did it at, where the bank account was going, and I let it fly. Did it anonymously to corporate. Got her fired, and she got prosecuted. I don't think anybody can beat that. I didn't have to testify in court or anything like that because the company had so much evidence with her paper trail. But it was good to get it off my chest. You guys are awesome. Blase.
She feel good about it, too.
And she might have did that recently because that sounded like that was from like recently I got that shit off my chest.
Oh.
Blase, can you... I want you to actually... Call our voicemail.
Yeah, I don't know if she can though. That voice, she might not be able to. She might need to send that for like an encrypted email
or something, a little encrypted computer voice.
Oh, like the Unsolved Mysteries voice? Yeah. No, the Dateline.
The Dateline voice.
Oh man,
Blase, if you are willing to call in for this,
yo, I want to do a Black Unsolved Mysteries TV show where it's just Black mysteries.
Oh shit, it'd be last week's stuff. Like Dante got shot on Eastgate. We ain't found the killer. We probably not.
I want mysteries of like things where like people was at the bowling alley and somebody like cheated on their score. I don't want it to be too serious.
You want it to be kind of more funny or more.
I would rather just be more on brand. I don't want to be solving actual crimes.
You know, not the real unsolved. No, Unsolved Mysteries is different. You don't want to be America's Most Wanted just black.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
America Unsolved Mysteries is.
It's like. Remember when Todd said he saw aliens?
Yeah. you remember when LaTroy got so high, he thought he saw some aliens, but they really was there because we saw them too. But we never told him.
Because we couldn't, we didn't want him.
We just wanted to keep fucking with him.
It was real. All that shit was real. All right.
I'm glad she feels bad. I'm glad that this is, you know, therapeutic.
Yeah, definitely therapeutic, man. So we got voicemails. So we finna jump into our first semi voicemails. We gonna be right back. We gonna jump right into the voicemail right now.
What's up, Scenario Crew? This is CJ calling again. I wanted to give you guys an update. I read my played my voicemail message in episode 206 back in June. Our situation with our errant brother who broke our unspoken, unwritten crew rules. As the remainder of the crew, we all decided that we could interact with the gentleman individually, but he would be excluded from corporate outings and events, hangouts and going places together. Ultimately, we were able to get a resolution on what we're going to do pretty much immediately. My only issue with it was that, I was the one who introduced him to the crew, so I kind of, had some sad feelings about having to let my brother go. But as you guys stated, I agree that the crew must survive. So beyond that, I wanted to also weigh in on y'all's episode from this past week concerning snitching. The worst, most egregious episode of snitching I think I've ever seen is from the movie Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? Richard T. Jones' character, Mike, at a couple's getaway, stood up and snitched on everybody in the room, his friends and the friends' wives and all. I honestly feel like if you ever snitch on me, you rat on me, we can't be friends no more. That's it. I don't want to kick it with you, skate with you, none of that. So holler back. I love the show. Keep it up, guys. Thanks.
CJ, I love how you actually continued our last discussion with you about.
That's exactly what we were just talking about.
pandemonium.
See,
CJ,
that's continuity.
Yeah, exactly.
I like.
I already knew we had talked about this before. Like, yo, we want to know. He's like, he had to excommunicate the homeboy, and because he had to go out back and shoot him. Because you brought him into the crew, so you had to let him go.
Yep, you got to get rid of this. Yeah. This is your problem.
You brought him in.
Is this our problem or is this your problem?
And you know, it's always a movie. Like, man, I got it, man.
Because if it's our problem, you might be our problem too.
And you know, it's always a person like, I got to put them out their own misery. Like, uh-huh. Like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to do it, man. I got it.
No, nobody else. I got it.
I got it, man. I did it. I brought them into the crew. That's on me. That's on me. But yeah, CJ, that scene with Mike at that dinner, so he just started snitching and saying, like, he was cheating, she was cheating. And, yo, that's a classic moment right there, boy.
It's aggressive, dog.
Yeah, he was, woo-wee. That was some good time snitching right there, man. But thanks, CJ, for that. We got one more email.
One more voicemail.
Yeah, we got another voicemail, but I'm going to do an email in between.
Oh, yeah.
The snitching, got a lot of people talking. All right. This next email comes from Daniel Wilson. He's kind of close to Darren Wilson here, my brother. But
hey.
Look, it's all good. It's all
right, we're going to let you go.
Snitching. Snitches Get Stitches is the name of his title of his email.
Is it about to be a poem like the Mac?
No, I read this email previously already, and what his title says is actually what it's about.
Okay.
So I did 3 or 4 years in jail.
Okay.
In Virginia, and it was a pretty chill thing, I guess, if you want to say about jail being chill. I know that's crazy to say that, but it wasn't like anything that you would see on TV. As long as you didn't fuck with nobody, nobody fuck with you. Until one time, we're going to call this guy Frank. He was playing basketball with some other guys in the yard, and supposedly came out into the middle of a fight, and he actually was so mad at someone else that he told the COs that who was fighting. Now, that was a bad thing for him to do. Did I also mention that Frank, with quotes, has only been there 5 days in jail? I guess he never watched any TV or any movies or anything not to know what was going on. He was real innocent. He was just trying to do well by being well. So lo and behold, 2 nights later, in the middle of the night, all you hear is screaming and him come out of his cell. He has been stabbed at least 7 times in the stomach.
Oh, man.
Keep in mind, everyone is shocked, including myself. I've been there for 9 months and I have not seen any high level of violence. Maybe a couple of fights, but no one taking a shanking like this. Come to find out, it was the two guys that actually were fighting each other were the ones that shaked him up.
Both of them?
The dudes that were fighting on the yard.
Came together.
Came together to shake him up. Now, this dude never came out ever again. I think he was doing at least 7-8 years, and I didn't see him hardly ever again except maybe in the library. He reached it right. He knew, never came out to the yard to play basketball, never doing nothing. That's what's one to know. Like I said, snitches get stitches.
Jesus.
Dude, people take
that is the most literal story I've ever heard in my life. First of all, my good brother, I'm excited and happy that you've, you know, endured and have gotten back on the other side.
They do have the internet in jail. Are you currently serving a bid? They do have internet, and they can listen to podcasts and stuff there.
If you are, turn us into the biggest podcast in all of prison.
Just turn it on.
Let's go.
Yeah, look.
We want to hear from all you brothers.
Look.
Let us be a voice.
It would be kind of dope to do a prison show.
I don't particularly want to go back, but...
Hold on, dude. You can't hold on. We had to put the timeout music on for that, folks.
That's wild, right?
Dude. Dude, this is... I can't believe this shit, man.
For real. This is like Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. Damn. Well, moving right along. Next up, we got another voicemail. So here you go with the next voicemail, folks. Well, I guess that voicemail didn't exist anymore, so moving right along to the show. One of our listeners, y'all only gave us like 9 seconds of a voicemail.
It must have been too real, son.
He was like, he probably did his own thing of like, man, you know what? I'm just going to send to myself a hang up.
Yeah.
No, I'm just hanging up. This is too real for me, man.
He says too real. I can't even get into it.
Yeah, so let's go and jump on our topics for today, man.
All right, man. So let's start off with the WTFW of the week. All
right, let's go.
This is one that you sent to me. So this is better video, but we're going to go ahead and break into it. So on The Price is Right recently, there was an egregious violation that was done, to say the least, when a contestant that was in a wheelchair won a treadmill. Actually, you know what? Let's just go to the audio for this, too. Yeah, yeah. Just go to the audio.
Yeah, shout out to Drew Carey for this one. Hold on.
Oh, nice to see you. What's going on?
I'm so excited right now.
I thought you'd never get up here, man. You were close a couple times.
Yeah, I was so close.
But here she is. George, what do we got for her?
Couple of prizes, Danielle. We've got a treadmill and a new sauna.
Oh, these are really nice.
Yes. It's all you, Manuela. $3,695. Let's give it to her. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Congratulations. Good for you. More Price Right. We're gonna spin the wheel right after this.
Yo, how do you?
Oh. I mean,
how do you do that though?
You gotta.
Somebody in the back's gotta be like, Zicky's gotta change up the.
You gotta just give something else away.
Yeah, you gotta literally have to make a game time decision. Like, yo, we gotta switch this up.
Like
fast.
I mean, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you give somebody in a wheelchair a treadmill, bruh. I mean, that's top flight WTFW material right there.
It's super, because people don't understand that when those people come on those shows to win that money, they have to pay taxes on that stuff too. So she's going to take taxes on the treadmill.
Maybe she got to give it to somebody else.
I guess you could give it away, but it's just the optics of it, man.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, somebody as executive producer needs to figure that out at the last second. Like that's your job at the last minute to make those decisions on the fly.
As an ex-producer of media for mass media product, I would have immediately pivoted. Like I would have immediately just jumped in the earpiece or something.
She might have got a brand new car. I would have just been like, hey, switch the camera for.
Yeah, like somebody going to have to bet on a treadmill at the end of the show this week.
Exactly. That's going to be the main prize is a treadmill because I'm not going to have this optics of this situation with that. But man, that was bad as they could produce it. Super bad.
That's the worst. And it's like, and so that's WTFW, but there's even a few, there's a few more things that, that popped up here that I don't know. Do you say that this is a WTFW moment, or is it just a damn, that's terrible. So there was a story that popped up this week, that took place at airport. Where, you know, the least enjoyable thing of all time is going through the airport security. I don't know. I mean, like, what are the three most annoying things that you find yourself having to go through?
And I find that I'm like, when they have to, like, I hadn't had to check my computer one time, and I'm like, it's out, it ain't, like, what is the issue? Like, I had other egregious stuff in my bag for real that they could have really got after.
I saw a dude have to check a 30 case of White Castles at the airport one time.
Yeah, you saw that. So, like, he checked it. Did he end up checking it?
They was fingering through it and checking it out to make sure he wasn't bringing nothing.
So he got it on the
no, he's carry on.
Yeah, but I guess you could have got a 30 case in the bag. Yeah. Wow. I guess it could be some stuff in between those burgers.
Dude was fingering them burgers in a very uncomfortable way for me too.
With, at least did he have the plastic gloves on at least?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I was gonna be like,
I don't even think you should open up White Castles without plastic gloves on.
Like, it's not even a.
It's very erotic.
That's how you feel in general when you come upon some White Castles.
I mean, if you really sit there and break down the sensations of your White Castle experience.
It can be real erotic.
It's something else.
Yeah, it's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try to think. Like, TSA man has some. Have you ever seen like a bad woman at TSA though? Like, but she got like. So they all got bad attitudes though. Sometimes
We were talking about this actually at the ball game the other day. Mm-hmm. About how you always see like bad women around there, but they never are like in your vicinity.
Yeah, it's always like all on the other side or somewhere else. You'd be like, dang. It's, why the VIP line gotta have this dude?
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why I get this? Why I get this handsy, strong woman to be over here? But the reason why I bring that up is that this happened a little while back, but it just came across our table. So a security screener at a New York airport is out of a job after slipping a note to a traveler that read, "You ugly." This feels like something that Javon would do.
Oh, 100%.
Like, imagine if Javon was TSA.
Couldn't he be there a week? I'm gonna give him a week.
He's top three, like, people that would do TSA stuff that I know that I'd be like, "What's happening here?"
Yeah,
like Javon.
Javon would be. He would pull up. I know Javon would be like, "Hey, girl, we want to check your bags."
Yeah.
So you do you want? I mean, we're gonna have to pat you down too. And he gonna be like, "If you give me your number, though, all this stuff can be washed away."
Like the sexual harassment handbook.
Oh yeah. Like, would be written by Javon, actually.
Like, this is the blueprint for sexual harassment right here. With a foreword by Matt Lauer.
Shout out to Matt Lauer for that lock on that door though. Shout out to whoever actually built it too for him.
Yeah, you're the biggest creep. You're actually the biggest creep of all.
Because he didn't do that himself. Somebody had to come in there and actually install it.
Who's the bigger creep? The creep or the creep enabler? I think the scores look closer than you might think.
It's very close.
Anyway, so the guy was going through security in New York. And security guard just handed him a piece of paper with those words put on it. And like, the worst thing about it is it got caught on tape because it's the goddamn airport.
Yeah, and they got everything on tape.
Yeah.
She got fired for it too.
And he called the airport. He called the airport, had to talk to the county. And they said that they went back and reviewed the tape. And you got fired for slipping somebody a letter that said that.
Because the guy that got he found it in his jacket, right?
Right.
How long did it take him before he figured it out?
I think he found it like when he got there.
But then how did he figure it was TSA that did it?
I mean, where else would it have come from?
But I mean, anything. I could have been walking past anybody to my terminal. I could have been anything.
Oh, no. What happened was that after he walked through the checkpoint and began walking away, the worker yelled back at him and said, "You going to open the note?"
Oh, snitching on self.
Again, full circle. You snitched on yourself just because you wanted to get the reaction.
She wanted to see what his face said, though. She might have got dared by somebody at the gate.
That had to be. I mean.
Yeah, because it was just random. And that person didn't do anything to her, as far as I know.
Like,
Yeah, it was a dare that went wrong, and that's when keeping it real goes wrong.
This is several violations right here. This is when keeping it real goes wrong. This is snitching on yourself.
Snitching on yourself is the worst part.
And this is a gotcha. You got your ass zapped.
Cause she thought it was all good and it was sweet. Like, oh, that was funny though. Yo, I got away with it. Until she got home and she had that voicemail.
Yeah, you don't need to come back ever. You wanna look at that note? You wanna look at that note that's in your pocket? You're fired.
and just send this back, your suit in the mail, your uniform in the mail. Matter of fact, you just keep it. Wear it for Halloween. It's Halloween coming up.
Idiot.
Cause you ain't got no job, so you may not be able to afford a Halloween costume.
Dumbass of the month, yeah. Goes right there. So let's get back into our usual track of things here, because this is a very entertaining week,
yes,
to say the least. So let's go to a place that you and I both hate in a similar fashion.
Yes.
The University of Kansas.
Hate them.
Go take it away.
I mean KU. I mean, we have some KU listeners, I know, but y'all invited Snoop to perform at Midnight Madness. For y'all down and out team that's under suspension and all kind of stuff that can happen to y'all. Y'all team's not going to be the same no more after a couple of years after the NCAA comes down on y'all. And Bill Self is selfly going to take himself out of there. I think y'all got maybe a year left with him. Anyway, y'all invite Snoop to perform. And it was weird because I don't think Snoop knew what crowd it was. He just saw I was performing at a college, so it's all good. I don't think he knew it was the boosters and all these, you know, 50-plus people that was going to be there. So he proceeds to do one of my favorite songs was Snoop, featuring the great Akon, I Wanna Fuck You.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him perform this live in New York when I was at the...
You said this is basically the same show that you saw.
Exactly the same show. He had strippers with these big poles, and they be going hard. I didn't know he took them on the road with him. These strippers on the road.
If anybody looks like they travel with strippers,
it'd be Snoop.
Yeah.
And they proceed to do their thing. Snoop didn't know. He there for a check. He thinking KU. And you see Snoop didn't apologize. I don't think Snoop apologized, did he?
No. Snoop did everything except for apologize. He said, that's a Snoop Dogg show. That's what exactly, you signed up
that's
for.
That's what y'all paid for. I gave y'all what y'all paid for. And the school was like, wow. People were like, but this is the thing that's crazy, though, is the people that were there should be down with this. Snoop is 50 years old.
Well,
no, but I'm saying though, they are all around the same ages.
But they probably wasn't rocking with it though.
Yes, they were. Look, trust me. When I went to high school with all the white boys, shout out to my white boys from SLU, man. And this is before the conversion of a lot of like more mainstream hip hop and more everybody kind of was into it a little bit. The one album, the albums they would have if they had hip hop albums, was the Chronic. I don't care who they were. They listened to heavy metal all the way to country. They always had the Chronic. They had Doggy Style and maybe one miscellaneous album. White people at that 50-year-old age was busting in some G funk.
Well, apparently in Kansas it didn't get around to.
And
them
that's
yet.
And that's my second point. I'm not surprised that they would be that lame in Kansas.
I mean, it's Kansas.
Yeah, I'm thinking. And on top of that, I thought about this. Shout out to Vernon. We was texting back and forth about this. He was like, "Hey man, who was the event coordinator that saw that he was rolling in stripper poles into the venue?" I was like, "Damn, that's a good point."
That is a phenomenal point. Like, didn't you see these things come in?
Yeah, like the event coordinator, event assistant. Somebody saw that these big old stripper poles were being rolled into Allen Fieldhouse.
Mr. Dog, can we have a word with you for a moment?
Or not even that. You talking to the you talk to the road manager. Be like, hey man, what are you planning doing with them poles? Unless the road manager laugh like, oh man, it's an acrobatic thing they do. Oh, whatever. He might have though.
It's like Cirque du Soleil.
That's exactly. I wouldn't believe that that time continuing that he said Cirque du Soleil. It's like Cirque du Soleil, man. It's all good, man.
Yeah, we just do different stuff. Don't worry about it.
It's a stunt thing, man. It's beautiful, man. You'll love it.
It's beautiful. You'll love it. Like, I don't know, Ron.
Yeah, exactly. Mentioning random thought processes, man.
This sounds like a random thought process.
Yes. No, this one was, this is going back to the Botham case, and I texted you yesterday, and I was like, yo, I think the Haitians tried to set her up. Mm-hmm. Go with me now on this, people. I already told you that this whole thing.
Well, introduce you there.
So everybody was upset with the Bothams for the way they forgave Amber.
We talked about it last week.
I didn't know. Full disclosure, I didn't know about the judge coming out to hug her and shit, though, when we recorded. I wasn't fully known. I did not know about that part.
I looked at that like a whole separate incident that we got to address. I was only talking about the people.
Yeah, we didn't even. Because when we recorded, all that stuff was very fresh. And we didn't know about the bailiff brushing her hair either.
Wait, what?
The bailiff was brushing Amber's hair during the trial, at the end of the trial, like to like comfort her.
I thought you like she was sitting there and he was brushing her hair in the seat.
Yeah. Yes, and we didn't get all these details, folks.
What a life.
Yeah, so that was some grease. But anyway, so when Botham's brother comes up and hugs her, did he set her up for the voodoo?
Okay, so
they're Haitian.
This is a deep. So you think he was delivering the justice himself?
Getting their hair.
We'll keep getting going,
their hair.
Man.
Getting their hair. Look, they Haitian. Shout out to my voodoo brothers and sisters, and also Santeria for our Dominican and Cuban brothers and sisters, which is the Spanish version of that. They might have been setting her up. They might be having a voodoo down right now, setting it up and everything on her ass. And they probably letting it sit there chilling, where she think it's all good, and then like
everything straight.
Day 90. She get a little prickle on her back, like somewhere on my back. And then, like right when she going down some steps.
We're not doing anything right now with somebody gonna come up and hug me and then like get some revenge back on me for bringing this up.
I've had voodoo put on me, man. I believe straight up, man. Straight up. Girl I was dating was.
Well, hold on now. Go into this for a second. Explain to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Check it out. Come on. Girl, you know I'm talking to you. Girl, you know I'm playing you. And honey, I'm so fly. What? Come on. Girl, you know I'm talking to you. Why you wanna play the fool? And you know that's no lie.
You ain't lying. Mobile make you bounce. Took your hands stand still. Marcus got the vocals to make the mommies go local for real. We never heal like bad dogs, but none can beat us. We keep ignoring shorties and saucing the city readers. We hard like DC. Sweetly for TV. Beat my ground, gets down. And you can't see me, but can you hate me? Dogging you, instead of dogging you, I'm being straightforward, baby. It's all on you, girl.
Don't hate me for being a dog. Don't hate me. What? Don't hate me, baby.
Man, told you.
Well, then. Damn. Yeah,
man. Shout out to New Orleans, man.
Yeah.
So the Bothams are going after her on a higher level. They playing some voodoo checkers on a.
This is conspiracy brother level.
Oh, this I ain't been this much conspiracy brother in a long
this
time.
This is like that extra hoop in the Rock and Jock thing when there was an extra level on top of the regular level.
Did you get the like 5 points?
Yeah, this is like the 50-point goal 50 or something.
Point, it was like all the way.
Yeah,
up there,
like you had to shoot that thing with all your might. Like that's the level of conspiracy brother you on right now.
Yeah, man, it felt good to come back home, man. I've been away from my super conspiracy brother for a while. So
we have a conspiracy brother return show.
Man, I haven't been that much conspiracy, man. I think older in age I get, the less conspiracy I am.
No, you just don't care as much because you don't give yourself enough time to get to be.
That's maybe true. That's conspiracy very true.
Though.
Yeah, I don't have time to be conspiracy as much. Not saying that I, you know, for our
you're the only person in America that dissected that way though. So,
man, I'm telling you, voodoo, y'all. Look, when y'all see something happens to Amber where he's like she slipped down some steps. Mm-hmm. I already know. I said it first. Shout out to that judge though, man, for going over to hug her though. That was pretty.
That was extra.
She's gonna be on his Isaiah Washington Island. It looks like, as we transition, as we continue on, Isaiah Washington gets into a spat with Soledad O'Brien.
Now
on
explain
Twitter.
Who Isaiah Washington is.
Isaiah Washington was actually a cool dude. He was in Love Jones. He starred on Grey's Anatomy for a lot of seasons, man. Until he got caught up in an early. Me Too movement, not necessarily Me Too. He went off on, had a lot of disparaging things to say about the LGBT community.
So can I read the headline that brought this to our attention, and then you can kind of take it from there.
Yep.
So the headline on this, courtesy of News One,
and a lot of people have covered this, but this was probably the best headline. Mm-hmm. Trump groupie Isaiah Washington said he's doing better work than Harriet Tubman.
Now, keep in mind, he was also in Clockers. He played Victor in Clockers. You know, he's in Love Jones, like I said. He played Savion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give y'all some other. He played Not of Sight, is one of the dudes that was with George Clooney Robin spots.
Can I do Conspiracy Brother for a second here? I'm going to do it after we talk about this article.
He's in Romeo Must Die.
Yeah.
He played the villain in Romeo Must Die.
So, but I mean, but like, what's this headline all about?
So basically, Isaiah Washington gets into it with Soledad O'Brien. Basically, Isaiah Washington puts up a picture of him and I think it was Buck Dance 2019. it was him and a whole bunch of like conservative brothers and one sister maybe.
No, it's just guys.
All together in one picture.
You know them cornball brothers that wear them MAGA hats.
Yeah,
them type.
Yeah, so he has Paris Denard was there in this picture to give you all a frame of reference.
Okay.
One dude, I don't want to disparage him because I'd be disparaging another group of people that have nothing to do with this. One of them actually looks like Don Boyce, for the record, too. We should actually send this to Don Boyce and make him defend himself.
Mm.
You know, you see the one I'm talking about? Yes. They're like Don. All you can do is shake your head.
This is like political incels right here is what this is.
You know what? Great.
That's all this is. This conservative, black conservative MAGA hat wearing cats are political incels. And I guess the thing with Isaiah Washington is that he says he's doing better work than Harriet Tubman, which just
No. He goes back and forth. Soda was like, wow, really? Like she was like, she basically was like, she was misunderstanding what was going on with this picture. So he posts that picture, and her response is, hold on. So he puts the picture up. Then Soledad says, O'Brien, she tweets, laugh out loud. Just put an LOL above it. Then he jumps back and says, I don't know you personally, but we do follow each other over here on Twitter. Perhaps you should do a little bit of research on me before you go down this path. Let's keep it simple. Let's hop on a call before you are forced to block me and this becomes nasty. So Soledad, people don't understand that she may look like the CNN all brand.
She bout it. She bout that action. Yeah.
So she says, or I can just ignore you. Bless your heart, though. And don't threaten people. It's not becoming. So then he goes, what's not becoming is watching you being paid to act like you're a credible journalist that gives crap about real black people. You, my dear, have been a fraud for years. You want to debate me? I'm happy to do so regarding my current political position. If not, pivot now. So,
who talks like that, first of all?
Yeah, this means he's using this as opportunity. So he goes, I see you're sticking to the he continues because she's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
I see you're sticking to the negative narrative that I'd be so low as to threaten you here on Twitter. That's not going to work. I see you want to engage here. Listen, I've had to watch you pretend to not only be black, but watch you be made the designated voice for us. She goes, after these three responses, he's done three retweets. Babe, focus on yourself. And then she completely ignored him. Then he continues and says, Harriet Tubman warned us about people like you. Then he goes, someone else says something to him. Harriet Tubman warned us about you. He replies and says, what the fuck? I'm doing what Harriet Tubman did and better. Sit down. You sound ignorant. First Step Act. It's some Republican, black Republican thing called First Step Act.
What is this thing?
I have no idea. First Step Act.
I'm cool. I don't need to know. I'm probably better off for not knowing. So here's the thing. What has this dude done? Is he like the Pied Piper of leading brothers into conservatism?
Did he take the check that 50 didn't want?
Ah.
Ah.
Exactly. Here is my conspiracy.
That just came off the cuff.
See, because you're a natural conspiracy brother. My conspiracy here is that this dude who's been mad at black women ever since a black woman
threw him off his show, has turned into the new political black incel act. That's what it is. These brothers, these cornball brothers, who go around gathering together, wearing MAGA hats, definitely dating white women exclusively.
100%. I guarantee we go through all of these dudes. All of them got white women. All of them. Because I know one of the dudes, which one is he, man? Not Paris Denard. It's the one, Officer Tatum. I know he's got a white girl. W. Terrence has got a white girl. That's the dude that's a comedian. Like the political comedian dude that like goes in on Obama, said he was whack and all kind of stuff. Rob Smith, I know he's gay and he's got a white man. Yeah, all these dudes. And shout out to Killer Mike, who has one of the best statements. He says, "I married a black woman. Most of my detractors have it, or most of my heaviest critics have it." So like, he says most of my critics can't say that.
So let's dive into this a little bit.
And there's nothing wrong if you married a white woman, though.
No, there's no problem with that at all.
It's just almost seem like it's a hand. It's almost like lock and key.
But it's just an associative thing that we see here.
Yeah, it's like me having a stripper. If somebody said, "Oh, he's a drug dealer too," it wouldn't be a next step that I was in an illegal business.
Right.
And you can't get mad that people would assume that.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. There's like corollaries here. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out the ultimate cornball traitor brother package.
Okay.
Like what goes into that? What does that consist of? You gotta have a MAGA hat. Gotta have a MAGA hat. For sure.
Wearing tube socks with dress shoes. Or athletic socks with dress shoes.
Okay.
I'll take that back. Because some of these cats probably wouldn't. They probably look down upon somebody like that. Because they think they first to death.
What are you listening to in your car? Rush Limbaugh podcast?
Definitely. And also Alex Jones.
Okay.
You're also listening to Hank Williams Jr. in your car. Kanye West.
Okay.
You're definitely pumping Kanye West's last album only, not the previous ones. Only Yeezus out.
Okay.
Who else would you be pumping? Listening to Steve Harvey's comedy sketches.
Oh.
Watching Jim Brown football games.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that was low. I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't have went there.
What was that?
That was low, man. And I respect Jim Brown all day, so that was wrong. That was wrong. I shouldn't have did that. I just don't know how to feel about Jim Brown some days now. It's a tough one. I get it. It's a tough one.
Oh.
It's a tough one. That's a tough one. What do you think they're listening to?
Well, they're definitely watching Fox News. I mean, without a doubt. That's certainly happening. And I think they're just on the podcast cycle with that.
Like, they're consistently listening to those things repeatedly over and over again. Like, I look at it kind of like Chinese water torture.
Like, you just got to be, to get your blackness scrubbed off your face.
Get it scrubbed off your face?
It's like the Dracula syndrome. You look into the mirror and you don't see anything staring back at you. And you just that guy. You know, you shopping exclusively at Banana Republic.
Ooh. What about Brooks Brothers? Brooks Brothers.
No, Brooks Brothers is fine.
Yeah, Brooks Brothers, fine. They wouldn't shop there?
They're shopping at like the North Face store.
Oh, I like North Face.
But at the store?
You just get offline.
Are you decking your whole closet out in that?
No.
Yeah.
I got a nice North Face jacket.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you saying they drop North Face from head to toe?
Yes.
They got North Face shoes.
Draped and dripped out. The whole thing.
With North Face?
Yeah. Yeah.
What other clothes are they wearing? Are they wearing...
They're definitely huge Patriots fans.
Oh, yes. But now...
Patriots or Cowboys?
Now, I've seen more Cowboys than Patriots because now, what you call kind of fell off with the Meek Mill thing. Robert Kraft went a little bit rogue.
No, but it's still a lifestyle thing. Being a Patriots fan is still a lifestyle thing.
Okay. And he still supports Trump, so it's all good.
Yeah, you definitely hate Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr.
Ooh, yeah, Yeah, you definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
You dislike Obama, obviously.
You support the chop in Atlanta, the tomahawk chop.
You actually don't understand why it was a big deal in the first place.
You don't see color. Those you say things like that. I don't see color.
Yeah. Then what is Isaiah Washington doing though?
He's selling his soul.
So he took 50's check.
He's become an incel.
Damn.
He's become an incel against blackness because.
What do we call black cells? We got to come up with another name for that. So they don't know what we're talking about, like black cell. Because they got Blexit now. This thing called Blexit is like the black. And he, you know, the whole Candace Owens thing and all that.
Yeah, like how is she involved in this? Because you know,
she's like a man. Number one, her edges be horrible, dog.
Well, she's terrible.
I'm talking about her hair edges.
Well, no, she's terrible.
Yeah, so it just fits the brand, all right?
Yeah, she's on with who she usually is.
Yeah, so she actually is the Harriet Tubman for the Republican Party. She's delivered a lot of Negroes into the Republican Party.
She might very well be. But when you call yourself the Harriet Tubman, saying that like you are rescuing black people from other mentalities and bringing them along with you.
And like he gaslighted that situation and tried to use that as a moment to get at Soledad. Because she didn't say nothing egregious.
Nope. He's just one of them dudes to sit around and be ready to react.
Yeah, like, I got one. Soledad O'Brien from CNN put a laugh out loud.
I got her.
It's on.
That type of thing.
Oh, it's on. It's on. This name trip is on.
So, yeah. So, at any rate, those are the things that are going on with Isaiah Washington. In case you had no idea who he is, I figured you might want to know who the modern day Harriet Tubman is.
And he love him, loving him to death. He's a Harriet Tubman. So why we gotta respect him for what he's done for us.
So real quick, I wanted to hit on this because we kind of talked around this topic for a little bit, but mm-hmm. I wanted to get to what this categorizes as. So there's an article that came out about the fact that next year there's a good chance that there's going to be another, believe it or not, a reboot. But this one is a unique one. This is Candyman.
Not going.
Wait a minute.
That shit scared the hell out of me.
Like as a kid?
As an adult too.
Oh.
I won't be there. Oh, I respect them for what they're doing. I appreciate it a lot. They just lost Daryl Frierson's money.
It's called a spiritual sequel to the first film when the new Candyman returns to the neighborhood that the legend began.
Yeah, the second one was trash.
But hold up, though. Listen to this. The now gentrified section of Chicago where the Cabrini Green housing projects once stood.
Killing all white people. I like it. Maybe I'm back. I'm back. They got me back. That tagline right there, bottom line right there got me back. They got me right
but
back.
But is it a reboot if the same Candyman is in it?
I'm on the fence again because I forgot Tony Todd is back in there because he's scary as hell.
Tony Todd is like the type of scary where if he walked in my house right now, I'd scream. Like if I was at a dinner party, if I was at like a nice dinner party, like a holiday party or something, and I walked in and Tony Todd was in there, I'd scream.
He probably has that all the time happen to him, probably.
And it wouldn't even be like a scream where it's like, I'm proud of that scream. It'd be,
Like for real, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Todd.
Oh, shit, Candyman here. And like, I'm like.
Nigga, you know Candyman at your dinner table?
Right. Like, that's the type of scream I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think, what has he done lately where you'd be like.
Yeah, Jordan Peele is producing it.
I'm back again. But I'm not kind of too. I'm there. I'm torn. I'm torn.
But is it a reboot?
I guess they're saying it is. So I guess they're saying it is. So, I mean, I guess like we got to trust them that it is a.
See, here's my thing about Candyman. Tony Todd, right?
Mm-hmm, Tony Todd.
He is kind of crazy anyway. Dude had all them bees on him, man.
Yeah.
That's a wild dude, man. I don't know if you could trust a cat that got all that going on. Can you? If there's somebody says Candyman's coming to dinner, what are you doing?
Tony Todd's coming to dinner?
Yeah.
I'd be actually kind of intrigued, but I'd be like, don't sit him next to me.
I would rather him sit next to me than across the table.
No, I want him to come and be like.
Like cat a corner?
Yeah, where I could not necessarily have to look over at him. And I can kind of like, you know, only when I want to talk to him.
Daryl.
I'm like, oh, no, that's what's up, cuz. You need a beer?
Daryl.
Like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, no,
Don't deny it, Daryl.
Look here, man. How much money you need?
How much money you need?
Like, you just go to automatically whatever you got, though.
So yeah, I don't know how I feel. I'm hoping that this works, because Candyman is like sacred territory, like black horror. Even though he was like, I think black women would hate Candyman more than any other villain in movie history, because he came through time to find a white woman.
Yeah. He needed her to kill her.
Like, he came through time to find, like, you come through all this time and you don't even holler at no sisters. Like, I can see them getting real mad at him over that. You know how I feel about those things. I don't know. I had to ask that real quick because I felt like that was an important thing to get to here. All right. So, let's take a break real quick. Yeah. We can come in and then we're going to hit This Week of Racism.
All right, This Week in Racism. Let's go, Matt.
All right, time for America's favorite segment again here. So maybe for the first time ever in the history of the segment, the music matches the topic.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've never had...
Had a racism in baseball conversation, if you can imagine.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen. There's not a lot of really overt racism in baseball. There's just underrepresentation, which is different than racism.
Yeah.
But...
It's some inverted stuff with the Hispanic brothers that they do with the Hispanic brothers sometimes.
Hispanics doing good in baseball.
No, I'm talking about how people will kind of be like that, the backhanded stuff that they'll say about them. Like, especially when it comes to like flipping bats and shit.
Oh, you're talking about stylistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so let's get into this. So I don't know how many people might be up to speed on what's happened with the Major League Baseball playoffs, but there's been a big fallout in the Atlanta Braves St. Louis Cardinals series between pitcher for the Cardinals by the name of Ryan Helsley, who is a member of a Native American tribe. And honestly, and obviously, immediately, you understand that the Atlanta Braves are likely offensive to him.
Yes.
For obvious reasons. And you also know that the Braves have long been known for doing war chants and having tomahawks, little plastic foam tomahawks.
Who did it first? The Braves are the Florida State?
I have no idea, but they've been doing it at both places for as long as I can remember. If something bad happens, it probably emanates from Florida, though. But I don't know which order it went into.
So it was Florida State, 1981.
81.
81, Florida State is credited with doing it first in 81. And then...
That's a dubious honor to hold.
Yeah, so they did in 81 through 84 is when it kind of started, and 84 is when it really picked up. 91 is when the Braves started it.
That's when the Braves started.
The Chiefs did it in 90?
Yeah.
From the Northwest Missouri State Band.
I can see that.
Yeah, they started.
All those, I'm surprised, the Indians probably have done something like that.
Yeah.
They look like they're really bad. Like, they did one where you put your hand over your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. That's super, super racist. Look, like,
the actual mascot is egregious in general.
Oh, it's done. This is the last year. They're going to the sea.
Oh, they're letting go of Chief Wahoo?
Chief Wahoo's out of there. Yeah.
Finally. Shout out to Bomani Jones that had that version with the white men on it. They called the Caucasians.
I would imagine that you would have that hat if you could find it.
Oh, that t-shirt was sold out. I mean, that jersey and t-shirt was sold out for weeks.
I believe it.
Yeah, I was trying to get that bad boy.
So the thing here that happened is that Helsley called it out and said it's offensive. You know, and said it isn't, that it's a...
Yeah, because he's part Cherokee or something?
I believe so.
Yeah, he's part Native American. I don't know what
he's a member of a tribe, you know. So he called it out, said it was offensive or whatever. He didn't pitch in the series in Atlanta though, which I wonder if maybe it was by design by the Cardinals manager to not put him in the game there.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't know. He's a rookie, younger guy in the game, but you know, I applaud him for standing up and saying what he needed to say about it. But, you know, because he raised the point of it and made it very clear about what it was, the Braves said that they did not supply those tomahawks in each chair before the game.
Where the hell did they come from then?
But they didn't do it for game 5. They did it for the first two games.
Right, okay, right. Okay.
But they just didn't do it for game 5.
I already got it from game.
And they also said that while Helsley was in the game, they were not going to play the tribal music that they do there. The dun, 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 dun. But while he's in the game, timeout. What about the rest of the time that he's in the stadium?
Sitting there in the bullpen.
In the seats, waiting to come in or watching the game. Is it okay then? See, my big point with this whole thing is, and obviously, as you can realize, it's upset Braves fans to know. People said, you let a visiting team come in here and take away y'all advantage. You don't deserve to win. I was like, really?
That had no effect on the game.
The logic on that, yeah, I'll tell you what had an effect on the game.
Was that
10-0, was them bringing out the club and smacking them around in the first inning. There wasn't no music playing then. But, you know, the thing about it is to me is that the fallout from this is exactly what black people have been asking for in our treatment the entire time around the NFL. Like, literally, it's the exact same thing. It's like, hey, we're bringing attention to something that's not right. What are you going to do about it? And the NFL has consistently been like, we're probably going to do the littlest we possibly can, if that's okay with you. You know, so it's fascinating for me to kind of see it play out. But the thing about it is that answer, that's kind of, you know, solving the problem. Like, we'll respect you.
We're not going to respect the whole culture.
We're not going to respect the whole culture, but we'll just not do it while you're in the game. You know, and of course you're going to have them old don't tread on me ass people come out. Like, don't you dare tell me what I can and can't do. Don't tread on my rights. You'll have to kill me to take my rights. You know, and the same way that people flipped the point of the kneel and saying that it's unpatriotic when it truly was a stance against something and making a political stance like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but then, you know, you have all your Clay Travises and all of those people like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that fucking dude.
Yeah, the absolute worst person in media.
Just look at his picture on his page. It just popped up because I'm on his page.
Nigga, looks like.
He's dressed up as Isaiah Washington. This may have to be the Isaiah Washington episode at some point.
He might have to be the coon of the year.
Yeah.
We have to give out a coon.
As a Union soldier.
We had to have.
Looks like a Buffalo soldier or something on his.
We got to have coon of the year at the end of this year.
Didn't we have one last year?
Who was coon of the year last year?
What you call one? Kanye won last year, I thought, for us.
Did he?
Yeah, we had a whole awards, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We got to get the nominations together.
All
right,
we'll start getting the nominations together soon.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah. I really had problems. Like, shout out to Raven. Me and her reviewed Joker. You can go listen to that on the Lando Cal feed, Lando Cal Experience feed. And me and her were joking afterwards, and she was like, I was like, man, like, we were talking about cultural appropriation with stuff, and she was like, yeah, I kind of felt bad. I went as Pocahontas, like, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I was like, oh, man, I mean, if you ain't represent, you ain't do nothing crazy. But she's like, look at this picture. She's got the stereotypical, like, thing over her mouth. And all that. I was like, Raven, you may want to delete this off Facebook.
Yeah.
It's not maybe to me to move.
That's, yeah, you can't do that.
Shout out to my homeboy Thomas, too, though, who has incriminating things of me that I said on Facebook back in 07 when it was the Wild Wild West. That he
like Kumo D?
No, I was talking reckless on his page. Remember, at that time, they didn't have no inbox. So when you would talk to him on Facebook, you had to put it on their wall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking reckless to him on his wall.
You know, Facebook, first of all, hey, this has been this episode of This Week in Racism. The only point that we really wanted to make is, I do want to bring up something about that. Is that the big point I want to make is that response from the Braves is, it's lukewarm at best. Like, I'm not going to go as far as to say that the Redskins got to go, the Braves got to go, the Indians got to go, I got to do all that. Like, listen, I think that's somebody's fight. And to me, I feel like, yeah, those emblems and those things are mad outdated. And I could only, it's just weird to me what we select to be righteous about and what we don't. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, it's been a big deal about having Native American takes and emblems be mascots and things like that.
Yeah, because when you're in high school, the Indians are first?
Yeah, and that stopped. We the Lions now. You know, so
when
I mean.
When did that start?
91.
Oh, so they was ahead of the game.
Yeah. So there's, and I think my mom straight up don't even like, she's an Indian, but she don't even like representing that. So it's like, that's, you know, she's an Indian by logo, by things like that, but she doesn't like representing that era of the school's mascot.
Yeah,
I'm a Lion. Right. You know, we were 10 years into it by the time
it was already set to go.
Yeah, but anyway, so the thing about it is, it's really interesting to me about what we choose to be selective about. Like, we bring up these things, but then we vilify things that happen with black rights, and then we drag our feet when it comes to Native Americans, just saying, hey man, don't slander us like this.
Yeah.
You know, don't do all this, you know, don't make us into mascots, make us into stuff. It was wrong when it happened.
The Newark niggas.
But see, but like, we let the Indians and the Redskins and the Braves and all that stuff exist. But let there be like the New Jersey Negros.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't like the Redskins. I don't even call them the Redskins. I call them the team in Washington.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like any of that.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Any of them.
Like, see, I sit there and I look at it and like I imagine like, what if the Braves would have drafted Ryan Helsley?
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
They probably we gonna pass on.
But you know what I mean though. But yeah. Like, look at that situation though. Like, you gonna force somebody to defame themselves?
Like, even the Fighting Illini, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff either.
Like, I don't like the running Rebs at Ole Miss. Oh, we slapped them by 3 touchdowns this weekend. Look,
I don't see why any black person would go to Ole Miss in general.
I don't get it. The only thing I get is that's the only way.
I know we talk about, and we went to PWIs. And you really stretching me to go to Ole Miss.
If that's the only way you can get out the hood and that's a scholarship.
I ain't mad at you then.
I ain't mad at it.
But if you got a scholarship from Ole Miss, I'm sure you got 3 or 4 other good offers from some other places.
That's real.
I'm sure that Mississippi State has got one for you.
You need to turn Ole Miss.
Tennessee,
you
Kentucky, turn Vanderbilt, somebody.
You need to have Ole Miss have a whole team of Mike Allstott's and Christian McCaffrey play too black. I'm not going
to
do that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, and he went to Stanford. He probably was kind of a little liberal.
He was rich.
Yeah. That's why he goes to Stanford. His dad might have paid his way.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. But I mean, like, yeah, like, I can't get down with that. Like, all these names that are like, there's more than enough cats and natural events. I mean, if you can have the Orlando Magic and the Oklahoma City Thunder, you can certainly find
the Washington Metropolitans.
Yeah, the Washington Monsoons or the
Metropolitans. Metropolitans.
The Mississippi Geysers.
Yeah, Mississippi Geysers.
I don't know, something like that.
They're the Black Bears now. You know that, right?
The Mississippi Hay Bales.
Ole Miss is technically not the Rebels no more. They're the Black Bears.
What do you mean?
That's their mascot. It's the Black Bear now.
But they still are the Ole Miss.
No. If you look up there, they're the Ole Miss, not even Ole Miss. They're the Mississippi Black Bears. No bullshit. Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, they changed it. No bullshit.
I don't know, Ryan.
Yeah, no, they're not the Rebels anymore at all.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm telling you, they're the Black Bears. Trust me. They're the Mississippi Black Bears.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but no, but that's the fucked up thing. It's like, it's some bullshit because nobody ever calls them the Black Bears.
Nah, no, they're Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's some old fake, you know. We're really the Black Bears, but I don't even think they sell. I think all that stuff is actually get big money too, though. To have like a Rebels, Ole Miss Rebels T-shirt is not a big deal.
Can't do it. Yeah. Can't do it. But anyway, man, so that's kind of my take on all of that. I just wish we could get this right and just realize that, you know, like, hey, making people appear any type of way that marginalizes them is a bad look. Period. Point blank. Don't marginalize ethnicities through rooting for a team, and don't say it doesn't matter because it's just sports. So there's a lot of that, but, you know, my mentions on Twitter will reflect many people's thoughts on calling them out. They're very angry right now, and I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do.
What are they angry with, you know?
Well, they're upset also about getting slapped 13-1. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
Shout out to the Cardinals who could fuck around and go to the World Series in the same year that they won the Stanley Cup.
There's an opening for it. We'll see how it goes. There's a task ahead of them in the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, Washington's like got nothing to lose at this point.
Nothing.
They're just
paying
balls out.
Hey.
And if they make it to the finals, they got to see.
Hey, you got some black ass cities though. That's
on the other side of the bracket.
No, just period. Right now, the 5 teams left.
Yeah,
that are left right now. By the time this releases, we will know who's in the ALCS. Houston, Tampa, New York, St. Louis, and Washington.
And Tampa's an iffy city, but
no, Tampa got its side.
It does?
Hell yeah.
I've only been through Tampa.
No, Tampa, don't worry about Tampa.
You said don't worry about them?
Tampa is out there.
Okay.
Tampa is out there.
Because Old talks about that too, right?
He's talking about Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
But anyway, so we'll do that. We'll share that. Keep on listening to the extra podcast as we go through the football bracket.
Yeah,
we actually are getting some weigh-in from some actual NFL players too. So that we'll get some.
We may need to bring in a guest on the next one.
We can. Well, there's some people I want to wait to see if they come to town.
to talk about it. But all right, so let's move on to scenario of the week, man. this one kind of fell into our lap.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that everybody can relate to in one way or the other. So I don't know if everybody got a chance to see this or not. If you haven't, please look it up. Amanda Seales, the traveling... Amanda, once upon a time, the artist formerly known as Amanda Diva, was in the news this week for raising a little bit of hell after being excluded from an Emmys party.
It was a black Emmys party, yes.
Yeah. So she made a whole big noise about this whole thing. Because she was not allowed in to an Emmy party that was being held by Issa Rae's publicist. And she got plenty angry about the whole thing.
Yeah.
What's the gist of this whole thing?
So, basically, the year before, she came to the party, and she barely got in and got into it with the same woman that did the party.
Right.
Got into it with her and barely got into the party. She shows up the next year for the same exact party, but run by the same person that you don't get along with in general and expected to get in, mm-hmm. basically. And then she got in, and then security came and said, yo, such and such said, you got to go because you're not invited to this party. And that's when everything kicked off, where she said that it was, it was unprofessional for them not to let her come to this party.
But see, she's known
for being
a jerk.
Yeah, in general, in the industry, yeah.
Yeah, just throughout the entire thing. Like, she's just one of those people that people just don't want to be around.
Yeah.
And like, even her, like it said that none of her castmates intervened. Probably because none of them like her ass either.
Yeah, no, look.
Like, she went to Issa to talk about it.
Issa was like, I'm staying out of it. That's when you kind of know, like, yo, I may be in the wrong, knowing somebody like, man, no, I got you. If she was like, you know, I got you, I'm going to go holler at her real quick. I'm going to see, make sure everything's straight.
Yeah.
When she said, nah, I'm going to stay out of this one.
So here's the thing. But then I think the thing that happened is she immediately went to go play in the victim card with him.
And went on her podcast.
Yeah. And like went on there and then said, I'm naming names, I'm doing all this, and played the victim card. Said, I'm also seeing people letting this happen and they're not doing anything. Like she was getting like pelted with garbage in the street or something. Or like she was
letting this happen.
Or like she was getting beat up.
It's a fucking Emmy party. It's not fucking...
Like this is letting you know when you're so far out of fucking touch that you don't even know where your feet are at anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you just are completely lost in the mix and you don't even know how to cope anymore. You know, but, you know, even like dudes that, even like dude on the show, dude that plays Dro on the show, he tweeted out, yo, you can't be a disrespectful ass human being and expect people to want to hang out with you. It's quite simple. Sit it out.
Real.
And that's what I heard. Like, for people like out west have been saying that, like, yo, she's like, yo, like the most unpleasant person to deal with. And it's like one of those people that only deals with you if she feels like it's in her benefit to speak to you.
Yeah. And then she made a statement when she, because everybody came at her after this, and then she got mad about Serenus Jackson is his name, that played Dro. And she said, okay, maybe what if a 9 out of 10 times that I could probably be mad and being a bitch about something. It's probably a reason, though. Hold on. So I need to be okay and just expecting of you being upset and mad 9 out of 10 times because of something else that's happened that had nothing to do with me?
I'm not excusing anybody acting like an asshole to you.
Yeah.
Like, it just ain't happening. Like, I'm not ever going to get to a point where
And if I'm an asshole to somebody, even if I'm in the right and that something else happened to me, that has nothing to do with the other person that I'm interacting with.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Right.
They shouldn't have to deal with my bullshit.
Right.
Just because.
Yeah, like, I'm not, I can't, you're in no position to be able to hand your shit down to somebody else, ever. So, with that being said, this idea, this brought something to the forefront that I think that many of us have experienced and have been a part of, and I know that you, in your former life as a party promoter.
Yes. Have, the Chocolate City VIP list.
I've dealt with this in my past. You've dealt with this.
Yeah.
Let's have at it.
Well, I can do it from both sides.
Sure.
I've not been on the list, and I was supposed to be somewhere on a list, and I did bug out. But I didn't bug out there, though. I bugged out afterwards. It was, and I'm, you know what, should we go to this? I don't know about this.
You got to snitch?
I'm not going to say no names, but I think this is a story that needs to be told.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of good jewels in this, and it changed my life a lot to a certain extent. Real talk, this is crazy. Big time promoter from here did a big party here for New Year's Eve. He hit me up and was like, yo, you and your team are good to go. Y'all come on down, come through. So we go down there, get dressed up, suited and booted, the whole nine, get down there. and we ain't on the list. So I'm like, yo, all right, well, I'm blowing them up. And he invited us.
How did the crew take this on? Like, did people go into the roles?
I was the contact man, he had it in charge.
Okay.
But it's because he hit me up. So it was on me. So everybody was standing kind of in the back, damn.
So utility man was in play.
In full right. play. And I'm like, yo, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, no, you can't come in, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, you just hit me up. Like, yo, come through. So we sat there for about a good 20. He never came. So I was like, fuck it. So I left out. And I proceeded to go off, not on my boy, but like my anger. And I was like, them motherfuckers going to feel us in this party game. These motherfuckers going to feel us. Roy was like, shout out to Roy. He ain't got no problem with me because he tells the story. He's like, yo, that changed our whole company. He's like, dude, you woke up like the next morning on New Year's Day like, yo, I got all this stuff done already for our next five parties. And he said that changed the complexion of our whole company. I was literally out there. I was flyering harder than everybody else. I was literally hungry, dog. I was getting emails. I was doing everything. I took that personal. Flash forward, like maybe 4 or 5 years later, he's like, yeah, man, I saw y'all out there doing y'all thing. And I was like, no, we good. And we turned him down like 2 or 3 different times. He wanted to collaborate with us.
Mm-hmm.
Just off the strength. Mm-hmm. I even went to meet and drank up his liquor just to be able to do that and say no.
So you was on some 100% flagrant disrespect.
Yeah. But he probably think, really, because he wanted to use us, really, because he wanted our crowd. He didn't need us, our crowd, for real. He just wanted to get the extra money by getting our crowd.
Right.
Because our crowd was very niche.
Right.
And he was like, I want to get all the money. Right. So I want to get that crowd, too. I'm like, no, we good. It's like, you know, we were kind of like Marlo. I'm cool with my couple of blocks. I don't need to come over there with y'all. I'm cool with my few blocks. We do well over here.
Just don't come into my blocks.
Just don't come over here. Just don't come over here. And on the other side of it, I've had people, you be like, hey, man, hey, I'm on the list, though, right? I'm like, yo, I ain't seen you since fifth grade, B. How you think you on the list? And that was one of the things I hated to be by the door. So, like, I'd be like if you'd be like, yo, I'm going to go up there and write your name on the list that you coming in because I don't want one of my little cousins or somebody from back in the day. Hey, yo, D, it's me. And I ain't got no heart for that to be just rejecting somebody they face like that. I just ain't that guy like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, to just be like, nah, I'm going to at least discount you or something. If you catch me, I'm going to do something for you, though, especially if you know me. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for me to, you know what I'm saying? It's just hard for me to do that. That's one of my weaknesses. I'm just too kind-hearted like that.
You got
to
know who you are. Cause like when
That's why I couldn't be by the door.
Like, when I used to be awesome by the door.
Oh, you were a good person for the door.
Oh, it's perfect. $40. What time is it? Did you buy a ticket in advance? You didn't? $40. Run that.
See, Adrian was always like that. Adrian was good for that.
Some
chicky was hot on that.
I think that I was like built to be a person that uncompromising door person, period.
Yeah, I'm not good at all with that, man. So, no, the thing was, on top of that, especially if you were dating a woman, y'all stop hollering. Or maybe it's not going as well and y'all kind of fade and they try to get to, and they wait till it's the big joint too. Not like your little weekly joint where it's maybe a couple hundred people just chilling up somewhere, you know. Oh, they wait till the joint where your big holiday joint or the big summer joint. Hey, I thought I was on the list. Woman, I ain't seen you in 3 months.
Say word.
You thought you was on the list or text me like, hey, I just wouldn't know if I was still on the list. No, the chocolate VIP list is 2 week intervals. We change that every 2 weeks. That was always my response. I'm real good to get you on the call. If I'm, you know what? It's hard. Like, if a woman I dealt with came to the door, it was easy for me to reject that.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be like somebody like my family or somebody I was cool from my childhood or somebody I knew. That was when it's hard for me to, you know, to reject you at the door. Like, I remember one time it was a girl's date. She's like, I know I'm on the list still. We're still friends, right? And I was like, Chocolate City list is of two week interval period. If you'd have came 4 weeks ago on holiday, me, you could have maybe been on the list.
When people get to a point where they, you know, get real humble and be like, it's time. Like, you really learn who supports you and who don't when it's list time.
Yeah. Yo. Yo. You ain't lying.
And like, you see the people that don't be saying shit any other time.
Yep.
And like, but now they got something they got to say. They're like, I'll go on the other side of it. Like, if I get on a list, like, let's not even do a list like this. Let's use something where it's like, I get tickets left for me or something like that.
Right, for a comedy show
like that. It's like, yeah, like even for like a sporting event, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, if I for the most part, if I want to go to a game, I'll go to a game. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you get there and it's like, yeah, I need this, this, and that. See, in me, I'm not going to ask for a block of tickets. You know what I mean? Like,
some
I got like 8 people I want to bring. Like, yo, like I can get you, I could get you 2 to 4, but like, don't bring me the whole crew unless, you know, it's like some super special event.
Yeah.
But then you be having people that get on the list and then they walk up like they got their own list to go with the list. So they got,
I know,
like,
you're talking about, but explain this to people. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They got like 8 people that's coming with them.
Yep.
And I'm like,
but it's their only, their name is on the list though.
So I'm the type of person that'd be like, yeah, yo, that's like $200 you brought with you to the party. So you kind of like wiping your name from the list, because you're going to have to give me $200 if you walk all these people up into my party. I don't care how good she look in that dress.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, I still got to pay for something at the end of this night.
Yep. Yep.
And people don't get that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that...
That's the most egregious thing is the I got 8 people with me and my name is the only one on the list.
Yeah, exactly. There's the people that's like, I support them. Like, you're not supporting me by bringing a bunch of free people to my party and feeling like they're supposed to come in, because especially if I'm not getting a piece of the bar. Like,
that's where I'm getting my bread at is on the door.
Like, where am I getting anything from?
Yeah. The 8th thing, yeah, dude, there's been so many people like... they'd be like, oh, the worst is when you have your door go texting you like, yeah, Chris is like, yeah, he on the list, but he got 7 people with him. Make all 7 pay. Or maybe, I would always try to throw out a flat number, a flat rate. Like, it's 7 people. Tell him to throw me 120 for all of them. I just throw out a flat number real quick. And be like, oh, he said, cool. All right, that's what we gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be bringing 8 people to the door and be like, yeah, I'm on the list. And he's like, no, it's all of us.
So it's like you get caught up at the door. Yo, seeing somebody get caught up at the door, like when you in line, though.
Oh, it's the funniest thing.
It's the funniest thing of all time. Where, like, you sitting there looking and you just kind of like, or the two funniest things are the person gets caught up at the door and it's like they keep on trying to, like, dunk on, like, Yao Ming, and he just like, no. It's like, it ain't happening.
I mean, is it under Chris Thompson, though? No. Okay.
There is no Chris Thompson.
So no. So then, but this Amanda Seals thing is, why, my thing is, it's, why would I'm in that person that I'm talking about, that other promoter, I've never went to one of his other parties ever again in my life.
Yeah, you can't after that.
Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to any of your parties. Like, and this one was more egregious to me because you definitely knew this person didn't like you. Mine was, he could maybe get it chalked up as misunderstanding. And maybe, but I just knew from then, like, oh, well, then you just don't fuck with me at all, because you didn't make sure I was straight. So why am I going to show up in an event again, regardless of how, and there's other people I'm cool with that promoted parties with them, and I still didn't come. I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, like, no, I'm going to put you on the list. Don't worry about it. I'm good. I don't know why she thought she could still come, though. And the person that you got beef with and you is throwing a party, you think they're supposed to do this on a cool humbug shit. No, motherfucker, I'm throwing this party. I want people there. I want at the party.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's a good, right thing or not, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. It's my party.
Yeah.
And she's like, the party was for the culture. It was a Black Emmys party. I don't give a fuck. I'm organized. I did all the work for it. You just showing the fuck up. I did all the planning. Probably put up some bread, or I got the sponsors or whatever to take care of this event. I'm the one running around my chicken, my head cut off to make sure everything is straight. Fuck you. I don't give a fuck. I don't want your energy there. Fuck it. Fuck you.
How about that?
Yeah, it's plain and simple.
And you got to teach people lessons like that. Like, you just can't roll over motherfuckers and treat people like shit your whole life and then think that it's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm still going to get my way. I'm still
going to, I was invited by Jesse Williams. I don't give a fuck.
Yo, that's one of the, yo, and that's also one of the, that's low-key snitching, first of all. And then number two, that's also a smooth way to get him thrown out, too.
Yeah, like, oh, word, like, okay.
Like, hey, you got somebody out front for you. Don't let him back in either. Hey, you know I don't rock with them. Yep. Don't invite them
and
to
gonna
my
try,
shit.
And you're going to try to bring, especially if the person please was like, no, man, it's all good. Do you want to go out there with her? Oh, you know, because he didn't come out and get her.
No.
He knew, he probably got that talk like, if you go out there.
You're not coming back.
There is no readmittance ticket.
You're not
for her.
You're not coming back if you go out there. I just want for you to realize that.
And he didn't hit her back. And that's a telltale sign of, like, that people ain't fucking with you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people that probably don't know, she's cool, and they probably bear with her. Some people just know, like, I fuck with you some ways. Some people are cool. Like, I'm cool like that to a certain extent. Like, it's some people that I'm cool with that people don't like at all, and I can just tolerate them to a certain extent. Or I'm cool with them to a certain, because they never did nothing wrong to me like that. But I know the propensity is there for it to happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not... Now, if I was in somewhere and you was like, yo, such and such can't come in, I'm like, oh, okay, well. Hmm? I'm like, hey, man, I'm about to catch you afterwards, though. You want to get some White Castles around one? Hmm? I mean, I'm going to leave it around one. Hmm? If you want to wait around, you know what I'm saying, in the lobby. But I think he told me that you can't be in the lobby either.
You can't be anywhere.
They said they might whoop your ass in the lobby, too, though. So you may...
You can't be anywhere close to me.
Right. You know, I'm like at the Ritz, when the first Fridays have a party, you can sit out in a little lobby area. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't think they want you in that little lobby area.
Yeah, they say you can't be around.
Yeah. Actually, they want to escort you off the premises.
Actually, I got to go, too.
Yeah. Because I've been on the phone with you too long.
Fuck you. I ain't hanging out with you either.
Yeah. So, I don't understand that, Amanda Silstein, man. Like,
I get it.
I mean, I get it.
Pretentiousness manifested. The
you
album.
Think, you think that's ignorance in herself and not to know, like, the
absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. That's trying to gorilla pimp your way into a party.
Like, they gonna let me in.
I'm getting in. But
I didn't even think about that aspect of her just saying, like, I'm gonna get up in here.
The biggest question to me, though, is to think about, why even want to, it's even more aggressive to me to want to be somewhere that you're not wanted at. Like, those are the worst people to me. The people that want to be somewhere that they're not wanted at. Like, you didn't get invited and you still feel like you're supposed to be here. That says everything about you.
But she felt she's supposed to be there because it's a Black Emmy party.
But if you're not invited to a party, you're not supposed to be there.
100%.
I don't care what position you think you are in life. You're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many different parties. Like, Martin Scorsese had throws a party just because I was in Goodfellas. If he don't fuck with me no more, that don't mean I get to come to the Goodfellas party.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's his choice. He throwing the party. He putting up the bread.
If I have a birthday, mm-hmm. where generally I invite everybody I've ever met in my life every year, and I say except for, don't fucking show up. Because if you show up, then you're going to stand out.
Yep, and everybody's going to be like, yo, you see, Sunset showed up.
Do he know she here? And I'm like, oh, yeah?
Word. All right. Hey. And then it's usually with some, and then you got to check the person that brought them. Because 9 out of 10 is somebody that brought them. Like in this situation where Jesse Williams invited her. Then you got to be like, hey, man, what the fuck you doing bringing her, dog? Mm-hmm. I know your girl date her. I mean, I know you still date her homegirl. But you know that wasn't popping off her to bring her up in here.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't, no. I mean, y'all can be kicking it, but me and her don't rock like that.
Some people have to learn the hard way. Yeah. And this is an example.
And the streets is dragging her too, though, for her trying to defend herself.
Yeah, because the streets know who she is.
It's gotten out there. And it's multiple people that have been in the industry have been like, no, she's on some other shit.
Yeah. We don't fuck with her. Basically, is what they've said the entire time through. So they don't blame old girl. Old girl is just coming out as being a hero for the culture.
Yeah.
Because she's putting it out there.
And they're saying that she's supposed to be superly cool, though. Everybody cool her.
So is she going to stay on the show?
I don't know. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Like, they already recorded it, right?
No, I thought they were in the middle of the season.
Oh, man. I thought that. I was looking at them little clips, like, on the trailer.
I thought they just started, like, a month or so
ago. I looked at, like, those clips on the trailer. So, I mean, that was stuff they ain't never been in the show before, so I don't know. But I don't know, man. We'll bring it full circle. But, yo, before we turn the corner, man, I think we got to give it up to the great Diane Carroll.
Yeah, who bumped out Lennox from Belly. We talked about last week. Remember last week we talked about, can Lennox make it on the
he's out.
In memorial? No, it was literally the day after that. They said Lennox was like, I think I might be able to make it. He probably like, I'm gonna make it on memorial. Diane Carroll showed up in that line in heaven. He's like, God damn,
damn it, I'm out.
Rest in peace to the great Diane Carroll, who's the first. I think she's the first woman to be nominated for a Oscar that did not play a maid. I believe or something like
that's
that.
That's dope.
For Claudine.
That's dope.
She also notoriously married Vic Damone, if everybody remembers Money Talks,
mm-hmm.
Where he notoriously says he's Vic Damone Jr., even though they both got married in their 50s. So there was no way there was a Vic Damone Jr. They got married in like 81, 82 or some shit. Which makes that even funnier when you realize that.
I mean, it, yo, that's like, she's like a...
she's an icon, man.
She's, yeah, that's like, low, that's icon status. And that's like one of them smooth icons mm-hmm. where you'd be like, damn, like, yo, she's really put on. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you'd be like, and then it's like, you know, it's like, damn. So since she, you know, she kicked out, makes you want to just kind of look at your low-key icons. Maybe that's a thing. Let's look at the...
Giving people their roses while they're alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We might need to do that, man. It's low for you. It's for... it's Academy Award for Claudine is the movie. I said Claudine, right? Yeah, I said Claudine.
You're good, you're straight. Yeah. So yeah, man. So much respect, and you know, rest in peace. Many thoughts to family, fans, everybody, man. That went after that. Always got to pay homage to the culture when somebody bows out their legacy. But yeah, like you say, man, give people their credit while they're here now, man. Yeah. Like that's a real thing to do. And speaking of which, yo, we've been floating this for a couple of weeks, And there's going to be a hook on the other side of it, but we're getting ready to go ahead and make this happen. Yo, next episode, episode 100.
Plus-ish.
It's episode 100-ish next.
We lost count.
Well, so all right, let's just go ahead and get back into it. So yeah. I went back in time and counted all of our shows from the beginning. I left out things like the OG Hour mm-hmm. and classic episodes, so because they're repeats of other episodes and also like slight spinoff special mm-hmm. editions. So left those things out, like the NFL show, left that out. But we had been counting down to our 100th episode, despite the fact that we had done it about 2 months ago. So now, we're still going to celebrate it, though. We're still going to celebrate being at 100 because there's still big changes is coming on the other side. But before we talk about those changes, we're going to talk about what's coming up next. We're going ultra vintage all at once on a brand new plug fan.
We're just going
to
tease it.
You don't even need to do what it is yet?
No, we ain't going
to
let them know.
Ultra vintage.
Ultra vintage.
Ultra vintage, new platform-ish all together.
Yep.
This time.
Yep,
this tease, next week.
We ain't gonna give them, just tease them a little bit.
That's enough. Just a tip. Just a tip, 100-ish.
Hey, you know what? The voicemail thing has been rocking pretty well. Let's keep this momentum going, y'all. Make sure y'all email us straightolc@gmail.com and let us get your bad club entry scene and experience. Where you either seen somebody being real egregious trying to get in, or you block somebody, or you just seen somebody get blocked, any of those. Hit our voicemail, 641-715-3900, extension 769-558. Give us your stories, man. We'll play them on the air. Shout out to CJ and CJ for his voicemail. Shout out to our listeners that gave us the emails of their snitching stories. So definitely we want to hear from y'all. So do that. Hit us on that voicemail. Once again, 641-715-3900, extension 769-558. And it's in the show notes as well, too, so you can get them there. But we want to hear these stories, man. Hear more from y'all.
Episode 100 is coming up. We'll have the announcement ahead of time where it's at, man. Wait till you see the clips.
Thank y'all, as always. Peace.